As the new young adult novel, The Chosen One, opens, we meet Echo Brown, a young Black woman in her first semester at Dartmouth. As the first person in her family to go to college, Echo struggles with course demands and the burden of expectations, both positive and negative. It's a subject that the author knows quite a bit about. She's a Dartmouth alum and the first woman in her family to graduate from college. She's also named Echo Brown, and she joins us now via Skype. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you called your character Echo Brown in the book. You set this novel at Dartmouth, and she, like you, is breaking a lot of new ground for her family in many ways. How much of your own experience did you draw from to write this book?
This book is basically a memoir that's infused with magical realism. So a lot of those incidents that happened in the book actually occurred in my life. And more than anything, I think what the book tries to reach for is the emotional accuracy. So the feeling of being out of place, of being in this new world, of feeling isolated and alone, all of that is very accurate to my experience of, you know, coming from Cleveland and then going to a place like Dartmouth.
Right from the beginning, we learn that Echo struggles with feelings of inferiority, and she says that the college brochures that so piqued her interest promised a diverse environment where she could thrive. It wasn't really that way. Was it a similar experience for you?
Yeah, you know, it was pretty shocking to me because I really believed that I was going to go to this kind of diversity mecca. But when you actually get there, you start to get immersed in these different kinds of racial dynamics. So the way that people separate, you try to figure out which group you belong to, if there is a group that you feel like you belong to. And for the most part, because I was a Black student and because I was a poor student, a lot of the students there weren't actually from the kind of poverty that I came from, even students of color. It was really hard for me to find a place for myself. And actually, I really didn't find a place for myself until I was a senior. So the first 3 years were lonely. It was hard. And you have to have this kind of mental fortitude to survive in that kind of environment where you feel totally out of place and isolated. So I would say more than anything at Dartmouth, what I developed was this mental fortitude.
Echo talks about competing against students who come from schools with unlimited resources. She also says that she feels, quote, generations behind at Dartmouth. Can you explain what you meant by that?
I think, you know, when you come from a community where you're used to being interacting with people that have graduated from college, you're used to being sort of ushered on this path, this collegiate path toward college, you have an understanding of what that environment is going to be like before you get there. For me, I'm really coming from a family where nobody has gone to college. Nobody knows what college is like. Nobody can inform me of the kind of, you know, social cues that I need in order to integrate into this environment. So you kind of have to hit the ground running. You have to be adept at reading the social cues. You have to be adept at understanding how to pick up academic tools that are going to help you succeed in this environment. And so what I mean when I say I'm starting generations behind is just that I didn't have that foundation to teach me those things ahead of time before I got there.
Yes, and you talk about expectations in the book. Expectations are a real burden for Echo. There's a high school guidance counselor who advised her against applying to Dartmouth, but there are also the expectations from her family that she'll be the one to succeed, that she'll be the one to make the family proud. Was that also something that you struggled with as well?
Of course. I mean, I think, you know, it's the burden of feeling like you have to carry your entire family, right? So I made it out of that environment, but actually my family still lives in poverty. You know what I mean? Because I haven't been able to earn enough to pull everybody out. So you have this kind of expectation and this burden that you are supposed to be the one to go back and get everybody else out. For a lot of us, you know, that's just not possible because it's really hard, number one, to pull yourself out. And it is tremendously difficult to pull your family out.
And to that point, it really struck me in the book that Echo
always feels watched all the time by her white classmates, especially. Talk about that. Was that something you experienced as well?
Yeah, and I think what I'm really trying to get at, it's a couple of things. The first thing is I think white society sometimes, you know, we have eyes on brown bodies, or you're being watched in a store, or you can't just move freely through society. You kind of feel like there's this watching outsider, right, that's trying to determine your movements and putting up these limitations of how and where you can move in society. And then the second part of that is really about the trauma that I experienced, right? So I'm hypersensitive in that environment because I had come from an environment full of trauma. So you have this other level of hypersensitivity where you're always on edge. You're always like, who's coming after me?
You mentioned the trauma, and that really underscores Echo's life in the book. She was sexually assaulted as a child. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult question to ask, but is that something that you also drew on from your own life?
Oh, of course. Yeah. And in fact, I will say that in the neighborhood I grew up in, I don't know a young woman that was not sexually assaulted in terms of my friend group. So that's how pervasive it is. That's how, you know, as a child, you have to overcome that as well, right? And that's enough to crush the whole spirit. So when you add those other layers of challenges, you know, you're really fighting an uphill battle. It's not just not having money, right? It's the kind of abuses that you have to survive. I mean, you have to be so mentally strong.
One of the most powerful sections to me in the book is where you draw up a line of abuses that were inflicted on Echo's ancestors who were slaves, and how that abuse runs through the generations to her and to her brothers. Can you talk more about what you were trying to portray there?
Yeah, I think what I was getting at there is just the generational nature of pain, right? So sometimes, you know, we say, oh, alcoholism runs in my family, or, oh, my mother was this way, and then so am I. And where does that come from in our community? Where was the initial impetus for it? And I think a lot of this, at least for Black Americans, is you can trace it back directly to slavery, right? That stuff doesn't just disappear. And then how do we stop that? How do we heal that? How do we have, you know, genuine conversations about this stuff without one person feeling attacked? And so what I'm really trying to get at there is healing the lineage born out of that kind of pain.
You talk about the mental strength that you have developed, and it's so very clear. Echo in the book says she often recited the words of Dr. Martin Luther King in difficult situations out loud, over and over, quote, until courage burns where worthlessness once did. Yeah. Do you feel like a different person, an even stronger person in the years since you started this journey?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, honestly, I can't believe I did it. You know, you look back on all the, like, the challenges that you had to overcome. And honestly, I can't believe that young 17-year-old woman had the courage and had the inner strength to be like, I don't care how many systems I'm up against. I don't care who says I can't make it. I'm going to do it anyways. I think right now I sit in the seat of my power in a different way as almost a 40-year-old woman, right? I've done tremendous spiritual work. I've lived all over the world. I've traveled. I've overcome and I've overcome. So right now it's easy for me to look back and, you know, see my inner strength. But when I was just an insecure 17-year-old girl trying to figure out the world and trying to find my place, no, I was not in my seat of power, but I did it anyways, you know. So that's why I think it's important to appreciate who we were at every age in our life, because we're often, I think, stronger than we know and stronger than we think. And the reciting the Martin Luther King was just me trying to draw a strength that I wasn't seated in yet.
You call this book The Chosen One. That's the title. And it seems as though that phrase has several meanings throughout. What does it mean to you?
I think what it means to me to be chosen is he or she who overcomes, he or she who figures out how to meet the challenges of the moment and succeed. who figures out how to, you know, acquire the resources and the tools that they need to navigate society when those tools and resources weren't given. He or she who succeeds even with nothing. I don't think people really understand. I came from nothing. And when I say that, I mean, even today, my parents live on, you know, $11,000 in disability. And it was even less when we were growing up. So I think I'm just trying to get across what it takes to be chosen in the sense that, you know, you start with nothing, you come from nothing, and you still make it. How is that possible?
Echo Brown, her new book is The Chosen One. Echo Brown, thank you.
Thank you.
And to read an excerpt of The Chosen One, go to hereandnow.org.